Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
B, you didn't play with Andre Carter, did you?
Which Andre Carter?
The DN?
No.
He was after you, right. It is high noon in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. B. Mitchell Finley, live on 106.7 The Fan, live on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page, and live on Monumental Sports Network, broadcasting live from the BigBear.ai Performance Center, Commanders Park. Practice getting ready to rock here in about an hour. As, you know, a lot of people have thrown in the towel, but Washington has a game Sunday against the Detroit Lions. That's how this works.
Nobody feels sorry for you.
I brought up Andre Carter. So, Miami, the Dolphins, just called up Andre Carter II. They called him up off Detroit's practice squad. Mm-hmm. I don't know that this is the same Andre Carter that played here as a DN, but as a junior at West.
He don't seem that old. Does he to have a kid already in the league?
Andre Carter's not that unique of a name, but these are the types of moves I think as you get deeper into a season where things aren't going well, look for guys that might show you a spark. This dude was a serious pass rusher in college. Now, that was at a lower level, but you never know. All right, joining us right now via the Rude guest hotline, Rude makes the most reliable HVAC equipment in the DMV, is our friend Mr. Leslie Shepard. Of course, Shep played 5 years for the Redskins, 18 total touchdowns, over 2,000 receiving yards. Shep, what's up, man? How you been?
Man, I'm good, JP. How you doing?
What up, boy?
What's up, D-Mitch?
Chilling, baby, chilling.
Shep, a lot of reasons I wanted to have you on, but I did want to start. B was telling us that you suffered a worse but similar injury to the one that Jaden just went through with the dislocated elbow. But I guess you also broke your wrist. Can you tell us? I mean, that sounds painful as hell, dog, so I'm sorry. But can you tell us kind of what that injury was like?
Oh, man, it was, wow. So I did dislocate my elbow. B. Mitch was right on that. But we was unaware of the wrist being broken till the next day. Excruciating injury. Was no surgery required. They had to just replace, you know, put my elbow back into place. And, you know, I had to wear a sling for a few weeks. And then, you know, you went straight to rehab. But, man, it's excruciating. The injury itself and the rehabilitation process is grueling.
So I don't know that you can delineate between the dislocated elbow and the broken wrist, because obviously when they happen together, right, you got to deal with all of it.
Right.
Specific to the elbow that Jaden's dealing with, mm-hmm, was the excruciating part popping it back in? Is that something you just kind of – like you see that people do that with their shoulders. They just kind of jam it back in. Is it similar with the elbow going through it?
Well, it's a sting. It's a burning sensation. But – the rehabilitation part is a little bit more difficult than just popping it back, because you got your adrenaline pumping, and they do it fairly quickly. You know, as soon as they got them to the back, I'm sure they just popped it back in. But then you have to deal with the scar tissue and all of that stuff that, you know, recruiting muscle fibers and things of that nature around your elbow and all that. So it's an excruciating injury for sure. But it's not MCL, you know, it's not his throwing shoulder, he didn't tear rotate a couple, nothing of that nature. So I think something he could definitely bounce back from and be, you know, I don't think he will miss a beat once he get back from his injury.
You know, they said it was no ligament damage and things like that. That's probably vitally important. You know, if you had to say, like, they didn't put him on injury reserve, okay? And that makes people wonder, like, okay, well, could he come back, you know?
Right.
And for me, I can't say no, he won't be coming back this year, but I wouldn't know 4 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I wouldn't know. But I guess
I think it's highly unlikely that he comes back. Now, you know, especially given the situation of the team right now. You know what I mean? It just wouldn't make sense to me, you know, going forward if he came back. But I think it's something he can definitely recover from and not have any effects of his throwing motion or things of that nature. It's his left hand. It's his left shoulder, left arm. It's not his throwing arm. So I think he'll be fine. The biggest hurdle he's going to have is that you're going to have to fight through that scar tissue to build back that range of motion, because you have to have your arm to be a certain percentage in order to just even to get cleared to play, right? So that's going to be the biggest hurdle. Once you dislocate your elbow, the percentage of the extension is small, right? So they're going to tell you when you first start, this is what you have to do, and the goal is to get it to a certain percentage. So that's going to be the process, and that's going to take a little longer than 4 or 6 weeks, in my opinion.
So that scar tissue, so it's like they have your arm in a certain bend or whatever, you say a sling. They have
sling,
to pop that thing? Because I know when they did it with my knee, I almost punched the doctor.
Yeah, but see, the physical therapy process is grueling anyway, because the average person probably go to therapy 2-3 times a week tops. You know, if you're an NFL guy, you're going to go to rehab 3 times a day for 5 days, and probably Saturday too if, you know, you play at home during that week. So people don't understand that process. So they're going to give you the measuring stick of where you are. You know, they're going to put it on your arm, and they're going to say, look, this is where you are, and this is where we need to go. So I don't know if B-Mitch, you've probably been through the process of fighting through scar tissue, but if I could compare it to anything, it would almost be like going to the dentist and getting a root canal on one side and getting your wisdom tooth pulled on the other side, but they don't give you any anesthesia. No medicine, okay? So you're not getting no numbness or none of that. You just got to sit there without the injection in your gums and just deal with it. So that's how excruciating popping scar tissue is. So, you know, Al Bellamy did mine, and we wasn't friends for at least 2 months. Like, I didn't even talk to him. You know what I'm talking about? Like, for real. Like, I literally didn't like the dude. Like, but that's the process. That's the process. That's what you have to go through, man. I'm telling you, man. It's not something I wish on nobody. But it's not a knee. It's not a knee. It's not no ligament stuff, but it's excruciating, you know what I mean, to say the least.
See, that you saying that, okay, I understand exactly what you're saying. But for the average person, they just hear an injury and it's an injury. You
right.
understand it's a different, there's different levels to that. It's an elbow, okay?
Right.
And
right.
they popped it back in, and he'll be back from it, and probably won't even, if, you know, if nothing happens on it again, probably won't even ever think about it again.
Exactly.
But when it's a knee, it's a
yeah.
problem.
It is. It is. And I mean, he might wear a brace that you see some of the, you know, maybe the DNs wearing when they hyperextend their elbow. And they come back in 2 or 3 weeks. He might wear that just for the first few weeks of the season, but he'll be fine, man. I just don't see them trying to rush him back this season, given the whole situation with the team and the injuries and just the luck that we've had this year. So I just don't see him coming back. But it won't affect him going forward, to be honest with you. And I don't think it'll stop him from running or being Jalen or being a dual threat guy he is, you know. You know, I've been listening to you guys' theories on injuries and AI and all that. It's just mind-boggling to me. Some of the stuff people say about injuries.
Well, can I ask you something? We're talking with
sure.
our friend Leslie Shepard. Played for the Skins for a number of years. Played throughout the NFL. In 1998, had 712 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns. 8 touchdowns on 43 catches.
Touchdown maker, baby.
That's pretty crazy. 8 touchdowns on 43 catches is... What is that percentage? Like 22% of your catches went for scores? That's pretty damn good.
Hey, man, you said it. I didn't write a book to say throw me the damn ball, but I sure felt that way.
So, dude, you know, I know you and B talk all the time, and
right.
One thing I wanted to ask you about when I knew we were going to get you on was obviously you went through an elbow dislocation, and I feel like you gave us really good insight just to how painful the injury is. But with Terry McLaurin missing the holdout, now subsequently being injured, a lot of people want to draw a line from the holdout to the injury.
Okay.
What have you seen when Terry was on the field and it didn't look good early, then he kind of got going, got hurt, comes back, it looks really good against Kansas City,
hell yeah.
hurts it again.
Mm-hmm.
What, you know, injuries are crazy. What do you equate Terry's really bad, I don't know, 6-8 month stretch right here too.
Well, honestly, I blame the personnel, the organization, the GMs, honestly. That's where it started. First and foremost, Terry is the nicest superstar in the league. He's the most transparent guy. He didn't play for 55 different quarterbacks. This guy is always available. He's a durable receiver. And he had to wait to the two, three days before the season started to get his contract. I thought that was BS, first of all. So him not being around the team, him not having that camaraderie with Jaden, I think it's a combination of things. But I don't want to equate him not being there to injuries. What people have to realize is that the NFL football is a physical sport, right? It's basically luck. It's not rocket science to injuries. Either you one of those guys that never get injured, like a Darryl Green that's 185 pounds and never got an injury, or that superhuman person that you're sitting beside, B. Mitch, who never got injured, right, and played like a maniac on the field. So it's really about luck, to be honest with you. I don't buy into people of injury prone or things of that nature. It's the nature of the game. They just never really had any camaraderie with Terry and Jalen. You know, even the first couple of games, it was, you know, all about Debo. They didn't work him in. They didn't get him going early. But Terry not going to go to the media. He's not going to have nothing ill will to say towards the team or the organization. But I just thought the way they handled that completely just got him, you know, he just couldn't get off to a good start because of that. You know what I mean? Obviously, he signed the contract. But I think that kind of dampened the relationship with him and the ownership, honestly. I mean, obviously, he's a team guy now, but his pride was hurt. You know what I mean? I still think if he had the ability to play, he would play through this year just because that's the guy he is. He's team first, and there's no superstar in the league built like that. So that's one of the reasons why I thought they should have gave him the money initially. He deserved it. He earned it. But I don't think it has anything to do with him not being here. Maybe, you know, when you're a pro and you're not in training camp and you don't get signed, you're going to obviously be a professional and go out and work and do the necessary things you need to do to prepare yourself for the season. But being around your guys, understanding, you know, how are we going to work with Debo? How, you know, what is my transition going to be? What is his transition going to be? How can we complement each other? All that stuff they missed, right? You can't accomplish that in a OTA or a mini camp, right? And again, I think people take it for granted that we lost a lot last year. We lost B-Rob, the physical component. We lost Eckler. You know what I mean? So the team is completely different. You know what I mean, man? It's just, you know, things just didn't go our way this year. But I don't think everybody should just clean the ship. And, you know, I don't think Terry did anything wrong. I think he prepared just like he normally prepared. But, again, you know, it's just, you know, it's just nature of the beast when it comes to being a professional athlete. You know what I mean? It's just it's a physical sport, man, and people get hurt. That's just the bottom line. You know what I mean?
I mentioned earlier, Shep. I said, hell, I was hurt. I just played. Because I didn't want to get my job today.
Being hurt and being injured. So, you know what I mean? I truly believe that.
Like today, as soon as you sign a contract, you good. So exactly. You might not push yourself as much. And the coaches, the front offices, they hold guys back these days because they paid them.
No, you're absolutely right about that. You're absolutely right about that. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and let me just say this too. I think last year, with us being four quarters from the Super Bowl, right, I think it was like addict taking a hit of dope for the first time. They just don't be chasing that high. You know, they be chasing that high every time they go back and they never catch it again. You know, we haven't won like that in this area, and some people have never seen us win like that. So the expectations for this team was through the roof this offseason, and rightfully so. But I just think people just were so overwhelmed by the fact that if we play well, and we was in a game that was very winnable for us. But again, this is a different team, and we was, you know, we'd have hunted this year. You know what I mean? The expectations were so low, and I think it affected how we went about the offseason, the people that we picked up, the trades we made, the thing. I think all that kind of had a lot to do with that four quarters from the Super Bowl thing. And I think the expectations just was through the roof, and we just couldn't meet them. You know what I mean? And that's just the reality of the beast. But I don't think we're not a good team, and we can't win going forward. You know, that's just my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Well, Shep, I tend to agree with that. I got another stat, just because your touchdown to catch ratio is insane. In 97 and 98.
You got to hire him, Shep. He got to be your promo guy.
In 97 and 98, you had 72 combined catches and 13 touchdowns. That's a touchdown on almost 20% of your receptions. That's freaking nuts.
Hey, you should have wrote the book, Shep.
Hey, I know. I know. But it's funny. Back then, fantasy football guys used to love me, and I didn't even know what fantasy was. They used to be hell, man. You on my team, dude, man. You helped me win a championship. I'm like, really?
I missed the score, too. I didn't realize you ran for one in 98.
Yeah. I should have told him to a little bit.
I mean, that's 14 touchdowns over two seasons with less than 100 touches.
Hey.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
And I only played one full season those 5 years that I was here. So think about that.
Yeah, dude, that was 98 when you had 8 scores.
Yeah.
So I tend to agree with you that a lot of fans put the cart before the horse after last year's success. But I kind of think we're 10 games in. It's mid-November now, or it's early November. Like, I think we can safely say organizationally they did too. Because
absolutely.
Like, trading for veterans, giving up draft picks, altered the course of what they said they were building.
Oh, yeah.
And I think we're now at a place where we can properly kind of identify that and question it. You know what I mean?
But
no, absolutely.
I'll say this, though. What else were they supposed to do?
That's human instinct.
I think if they wouldn't have done it, like Neil Greenberg said it earlier, if they hadn't tried to go for it, fans would have been pissed at that, too.
That's true.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking about the fan perspective. I think it was like to the great analogy you made, Shep, of like getting that first hit of dope and wanting another one. Like, it seems like AP and DQ did, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
everybody kind of got caught up in it. But that's
normal. I mean, they felt like if we just do this and do that. But, again, you got to look at it like the players that we had weren't great. They were good players, but they was playing way above the expectation of the team and organization. The line, the defensive line, the secondary, everything was going in our favor last year. In order, because you can't just make it to the NFC championship game and you're a bad team. So a lot of things was just, ahead of schedule. And it's human instinct for them to come in the offseason and say, listen, we was four quarters away from the Super Bowl. If we do X, Y, and Z, that could get us over the hump. But again, you got to get rid of B. Rob so you can sign Terry and then Eckler get hurt. And it's a lot of things that we didn't have last year happened this year, and you had to adjust. And Jalen getting hurt again and things of that nature you just can't account for. So I still think we are ahead of the curve because we got a hell of a coach in DQ. That's a great leader. And we got a franchise quarterback. And I don't know how many teams in the league can say that. So, I think we can build around that. We got our missing piece in Terry back on offense. I just think that we're fine. We just got to make some adjustments. You know what I mean? And this year was just a mulligan. We got to take a mulligan this year, man. Just, it happens to the best of teams.
Yeah, Jeff knows what a mulligan is.
Yeah, B doesn't believe in mulligans, though.
I mean, Jeff take him every damn other shot.
Hey, Shep, thank you for making time for us, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
We really appreciate it.
No problem, man. Always a pleasure.
All right, man. Take a life,
take
brother.
Care of that elbow, dude. All right. That's our friend Leslie Shepard.
That's been knowledge, bro.
I can only imagine B and Shep in the club in like 1997.
Man, we didn't go to the club. We went to restaurants.
I bet you went to lots of places. One place I go is my friends over at Better.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused,
is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's JP Finley, and you've heard me talking about my house, all the problems we have that seemingly never stop, especially when you get a new batch of problems. But you know who gives us no problems? All help, the folks at Better Services. They're coming to the rescue for me again, hooking me up with appliances to match the dishwasher that they serviced, I don't know, 6-8 months ago. But here's the thing with Better. They can take care of whatever you need. Like, The way the service over there works, they talked to my wife and helped her identify and find the exact appliances she wanted for our house. Go check out their showroom in Kensington. They've got all the brands you're looking for and can offer same or next day delivery. Think about that. Your oven goes on the fritz. Go over to Kensington and check out the showroom. You get a new oven the next day. They do this because it's a family-owned, woman-owned company, man. They know what they're doing. They run it really well. And whether you need your whether you need new appliances or maybe you just need services or repairs, hit them up, betterservices.com. It's BETTAR. The other thing, especially with the holidays coming up, you're going to be hosting, you're going to be entertaining, Aunt Edna's going to be complaining about something. Make sure all the fixes you need around the house are done. They have handyman services. Can come over one day, knock two or three things out for you. Whatever it is you need, hit them up. BetterServices.com, BETTAR. You better get better. In moments, we're going to hear from Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. But DQ, what's the top topic?
Jaden,
probably. Here he is, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn.
You know, the next day or so, just being thorough through the whole process, like all the guys, to make sure all the opinions, and then gather all the info, and then make the decisions from there.
And then we've talked a lot about the physical toll of the injuries and just like guys who are missing. What's the mental toll on this many injuries on a team when you see, I know it's next man up, but what's the mental toll like?
Yeah, it's a great question, John. It is, because there's continuity issues that take place first off when you have an injury of people, you know, not in sync all the time together. But the mental toll, it's definitely a big one. It's also for the guys that are out, you know, some that are out that'll come back, some that are out for the season. And the ones that I worry about are the ones out for the season. As far as the mental toll collectively, team, like everybody goes through it, you know, and some stuff, not injuries, but I'm saying hard things, and you find your way and you adapt. But it's better to acknowledge it, talk about it, and find the best plan moving forward. And if you have, you know, the right mindset to go solve the problems, you know, then, okay, this is what we need to go do, and this is how we need to go do it. I think just being straight about it, John, is the best approach to eliminate any doubt. This is how we're going to go win, and each game is winnable, and you have to say this is how we're going to go do it for this game. And that may look different week to week, but for us, that's where the focus goes. And I try to explain that in the beginning of the week, and then you try to make that come to life through the game plan and the practice. And so having a whole week to go do that against a talented Detroit team, like, we'll need all the whole week and the practice to do that.
Dan, what is the film showing you about Mikey this season?
Yeah, I would say there's been up and down moments, meaning the playmaker, the interceptions I saw at LA and, you know, the last couple of weeks. So the ball hawking mindset, which I love. There's also been a couple of plays of over trying, you know, to make those plays. And that's kind of part of the process. You don't like to go through that. But when you're capable of making plays, well, I'll make some more and I'll make a few more. And then all of a sudden, that's not the one that you need to take a chance on. In the basketball world, I'm not going to force this shot. You know, that's what sometimes happens to a ball player who has the skills to go do that. And I think there's been some examples of that this year. And I'm not surprised because he's a competitor and wants to help and make plays. And so my part of my training with the guys and talking to them, I want them to feel backs against the wall and fight for that but I don't want them to over-try to make things up to go try to win. Like, the attitude, the mindset, that's good, but not at the expense of veering off course to do something that could have other consequences. And he has to learn that, I would say, but he's not alone in that. That's, you know, everybody, when you're fight like hell, you want to make a play for the team, you want to change the course of things, and so it's actually when you need to be the most disciplined. And those are good, hard lessons, but ones that I'm certain that he's learning too.
What does he have to lean into as a second-year player who has this, it's a natural kind of progression. There's tape on you now, there's ways to attack you now, and what does he have to lean into to kind of get through those rough patches when it doesn't go the way he would like it to go?
Yeah, I think you have to lean into the discipline and the technique, because when you play with that and you have that and you can lean on that, man, then you're good, David, because now I know I can play the technique and play it when you're maybe I'm off, I'm back, I want to take a shot, then you're not out of the technique. So I think there's like a real discipline that has to take place. And as you're going through, sometimes I feel like he's older than going into the second year, but some of those players that have more years, okay, not that's not the time. That's not the place to go take your shot. He's still learning that. And I know that he'll learn from this. He's a sharp, sharp guy, but we can't have ones where you can and where you can't. So the discipline, I would say, is the biggest factor for a ball player who's a playmaker, because they know they can make the next one and make the next one. And so imagine that's much the same conversation, which the right shot when you've covered that. So it's for the guys that aren't capable of making some of those, they are probably more disciplined in sometimes, because I can't make that play all the way over there, where sometimes a player thinks they can.
Two-part playing off that, is it expected then that you're seeing it in year two more so than year one with him, and then just with him and Quan together, just the two together, how do you feel like they're developing after a really strong first year together?
Yeah, that's a great question. And they're both going through it too, you know, like they want it to be right and good. Like, these are two really committed guys. And so, you know, going for Quan, like whether it's a tackling, you know, that didn't go the way that you want, like, and he's somebody that I have all the faith in to get those done. But when you miss him, you want to talk about him, acknowledge him, and say, this is what needs to be done to go make this play, get this technique done. And sometimes over-trying can be that way. I want to do this, and I thought he was going to do that. And like, no, man, just trust the technique. And so I've sensed with both of them some of that, and they're two guys that I just believe in so much, and to stay in the discipline of it. And like, those plays will generally be made.
And then going back to the injuries, what is your approach with Adam when you guys are digging deep into the well of players that you need to find just to have depth and reserve there? What does it change from what it did normally at the start of the season? I mean, how do you work this out with him?
Yeah, we talk through the team, you know, every day, so that's the good part, to dig in. And he and his staff and Lance and on the guys from the pro side, they've really done a good job. It's the hardest, I would say, Nikki, when there's multiples at a position. So for us, that would be like wide receiver and DNs, because then there's layers down to it. When it's elevate from the practice squad, they've been in the system, been in training camp, that makes it a little bit easier, because system, training, you know, like, that person's getting themselves ready for their opportunity. And you pray and you hope that that doesn't come from the injury side. You hope a player on the practice squad says, man, we got to get his ass in the game. He is working it at practice. He's improving. He's getting there. The other side is, if a contingency happens, if an injury took place, he's ready to play. So I'd say it's harder when you add those players in season, because then there's less bank reps, less continuity together. Not to say it can't be done. Of course it can. But that's part of the hardest part, I would say, when there's layers at a position. One, okay, that's a shift. And then, but those two positions, I would say it's harder, because there's more players at that position. So you could say, well, there's more to go. But still, at three or four, you know, it's a big number at a position, even at receiver and the end or O-line, where you play more players than running back or quarterback.
Hey, Coach, with Frankie Louvu potentially suspended on Sunday, it seems like Jordan McGee is going to get more run. What have you seen from Jordan this season as far as that, like, second-year leap?
Yeah, we are very excited about Jordan. We've got some good news on Frankie that he is not going to be suspended, so that's a big deal. But what you've seen from Jordan, there was just like a fantastic tackle for loss in the game the other night. He's a very square and secure tackler. You may have even heard me talk about good linebackers who can play square. And the reason you want to do that, so if a ball's going outside and you overrun it, your shoulders are turned, you can allow a cutback lane. And so the best of the best, man, they can play square but have the quickness and the range to go from side to side without having to turn and run. Jordan has that. And so I'm excited to see him develop. And, you know, he's going to continue to develop and make more plays.
Over here?
Yep.
You told us on Monday that you're going to bring Joe Witt down to the field. Who goes – anybody move up to the booth? And ultimately, that move, what do you expect will change or happen with him on that field?
Yep, two parts. First, no one else is moving up from that spot to go. Tom Donatell is on the pass side, is up, you know, in that space. So we're covered in that way. What do you expect when, or what's the advantages probably that you want to ask, you know, like when you're up and you're down? Obviously you can see Chick so much, you know, clearer from up top. You can see the substitutions. What you don't feel, players and the fast communication that you sometimes need to get to. So when you're not hitting a mark in a certain space, it's the right call. If it's also happened the other way, when you're on the field and, you know, okay, he needs to get out of the emotion of it and just see the play calling. So it's the right call for us at this time. So the players can look directly at Joe. Joe can look directly at them in between a series, you know, to go into that spot. So no one is going to go up, but Joe will come down, and kind of wanted to give you the, you know, the pluses and minuses of those. Both are effective. It just, you know, by play caller and what we need at the moment, you make changes and say, all right, this is what's best for us now. And it's not that uncommon where, you know, people have done it in season, out of season, one season to the next. So I think it's the right change up for us right now.
Dan, the trade deadline came and went yesterday, and I know this is more kind of AP's department, but can you fill us in at all on why the team stood pat, and if possible, how close were you to making any sort of moves?
Well, first, you're right. The you know, Adam and his staff, like, they're really thorough. Man, like, they go through it, and that's part of, you know, the process that you go through all these different times a year, when's trades, when's draft time, you know, free agency. And one of the things I admire about him is the thoroughness and making, like, really good, tough decisions, you know. And so when you go through a whole process, you know, lots of factors would go into things to say, is it the right deal? Is it the right fit? Both sides. And so when it comes together, you know, he knows exactly how he wants to handle it and where to go. So he was in great communication with me. If, you know, like this time of year, everybody calls and talks, but you know, he's really thorough in making sure to make the best decisions.
Dan, with the injury to Jaden and also all the receiver injuries, it kind of leads to a natural progression of running the ball more. When a defense is aware that you might be doing that more and stacking the box, things of that nature, what goes into still remaining effective, you know, in the run game during those moments?
Yeah, what I think you're saying is, like, you know, shots, you know, at bat. And so sometimes the play pass that can come off the run game can be where you have to, you know, make your mark to go. So there can be some times where a 1 yard run or a 2 yard run, that's what, like, the stats would show. But the byproduct of that is this linebacker or the safety going downhill, can you get a play pass in behind them? And so I think that's the balance of playing first and second down football. And we need to be more effective at both. The more effective you run, play action should be, you know, a little bit more effective. But you have to take the shots at the run game to do that. And that's one of the areas that, you know, like, is really important to us. We got good O-line, running backs to get rolling. So I wouldn't say it's, like, more important now. It's always a big part of, you know, playing good offense when you can have balance. So, you know, we look forward to improving in that area, I should say, instead of more or less.
Dan. That's Commanders head coach Dan Quinn. A lot to take in there. Plenty for us to react to. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley. Going to open these phone lines up at 1 o'clock.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
B, I got to tell you, we've both been wearing them. I love the gear from Collars & Co. The quarter zips, the polo shirts, the dress shirts, the blazers, all of it is super dope, doesn't wrinkle, and you can wear it anywhere. You can go on a date. You can wear it to work. I wear it on TV. Whatever it is you're doing, Collars & Co. is the right gear for you. Straight off the hanger, I'm out the door. No ironing, no dry cleaner. Check them out at collarsandco.com, or better yet, check out their store at Congressional Plaza. I love wearing the gear. You will, too. Get 20% off orders over $99 with code JPFinley20. Finley spelled with an A. Collars & Co., game changer. About the elbow injury and him saying, yeah, I don't think he's going to play again. I think that's probably where I land, too. Now, we'll see. And there's no hurry to put him on IR. They just IR'd two other guys. Like, it's not like they're pressed for roster spots or something.
True.
It's not like, you know, I'm trying to remember who I was listening to. I want to say it was Doc, where you're getting to a point in the season, and we'll see what happens. Maybe they knock off Detroit and the conversation changes.
Yeah.
But they're going to get to a point in the season where you start looking to try new things. And, I mean, you just saw it with the Dolphins claiming this dude off the Lions practice squad. Like, eventually, some guy you liked his tape and it's gone wrong, or you had an injury and now he's healthy. Like, eventually, I think you're going to start trying some different stuff. But with Jaden, the franchise quarterback, you take all the damn time you got.
You do.
There's no hurry on it.
I understand you take all the time you want, but, like, I think this is another thing, too. Like, you have an overachiever. You have a willing participant, a guy who's not the average person in this day and age who are always looking for outs, who don't want to do all the work. You have a guy who wants to do the work and who wants to be in there. You got to find out a way to occupy him and also don't stunt his growth. You get what I'm saying? If he can't go back and play, you don't want him to play, what are you going to do? What kind of game plan you got to keep him on top of his game? What kind of game plan you have to make him move forward? Because Jaden is a student, like, very much like I was in school. The teachers were telling my mom they needed to put me on medicine when I was in first, second, third grade. She's like, why? Well, he interrupts the class. Well, maybe you should give him more work to do. Because they would give me the easy-ass work. I would do it real quick. And I'm not going to just sit there and be quiet all day. So I start messing around. And when they started giving me more work, guess what? I never bother people. It's just like sometimes people – so what is Cliff and whoever is going to put together to keep him occupied, to get him better for the next year? Because that's just as important as him getting experience on the football field.
For sure.
We know he's – if they tell him he can go work, he's going to work. But they may know things that can directly impact what he's doing on the field, things that can help him, and they need to have a game plan.
For sure. It is.
Because there are some guys who might be hurt, and they say, well, you're not going to play till next year. Guess what they're going to do? Not do a damn thing till next year.
I also think, you know, for Washington, Dan Quinn said something really interesting about Mikey Sammerstill. Then he kind of said something similar about struggles in the run game, where you've got guys trying to make plays, but at the wrong times. Like they're yeah. I think a lot of guys. And listen, we can talk about fans had expectations, the front office had expectations, so did the players.
Yeah, and everybody does.
And I think they're trying to make plays and missing. Like a lot of this is just mistakes, and I think mistakes are coming because they're pressing. And Dan Quinn talked about a second and short Sunday night where the running back had a first down but tried to bounce it out for a big play and got tackled for loss. Sometimes you take the first down.
Yep.
You know, you're not – I remember that that AFC title game a couple years back in Baltimore where KC came to town. That place was electric, and the Ravens just couldn't do anything offensively. And it's they got away from their run game, and it seemed like on every throw, Lamar was trying to get 14 points.
Yeah.
And it's just – it's not how it works. When you press, it generally doesn't work. You got to play your game. And honestly, you kind of saw that in KC, at least in the first half.
But see, that is the thing where I think the average person does not see or understand. When you are capable of taking a team on your back and doing stuff, and you know you're lacking in certain positions, you know that you're lacking in certain abilities or on other positions, you're going to try and do more. It's automatic for guys that have exceptional talent. Like he talked about Mikey, he talked about, you know, and I can say you could add Jaden into that. Those guys, he knows his offensive line wasn't blocking as well as they could. He knows he don't have many top people to throw it to. He knows his defense is not stopping people. So he tries to do a little bit more. But if you put more around him and help him out a little bit, then he doesn't have to do that. See, people only see what they see on the football field. They don't understand the other mindsets that pop in the players. And I can say this. If you really just think about anybody out there, I don't know what your profession is. When they put you on a group or a team and you don't feel comfortable with everybody else, and if you are a person that has more capabilities, don't you find yourself trying to do a little bit more?
Here's what we're going to do.
It happens all the time.
We're going to do more of breaking on time. When we come back, power rankings, plus we'll open the phones. Where do the Commanders belong in the power rankings? Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitch and Finley.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. We break down the plays and schemes and give you in-depth analysis. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday. Listen to and follow Take Command wherever you get your pause.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.